Good morning, and welcome to the OpSens Incorporated fourth quarter and fiscal year 2022 financial results. All participants will be in a listen-only mode today. Should you need any assistance during the call, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Robert Blum with Lytham Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us today for the OpSens fourth quarter fiscal year 2022 conference call for the period ending August 31, 2022. With us on the call representing the company today are Louis Laflamme, OpSens President and Chief Executive Officer, and Robin Villeneuve, OpSens Chief Financial Officer. At the conclusion of today's prepared remarks, we will open the call for a question and answer session. Before we begin with prepared remarks, just a couple of comments. Today's call will contain forward-looking statements that are based on current assumptions and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected, and the company undertakes no obligation to update these statements except as required by law. Information about these risks and uncertainties are included in the company's filings, as well as periodic filings with regulators in Canada and the United States, which you can find on SEDAR and the OpSens website. In addition, the company will be providing certain information on number of accounts and units shipped of SavvyWire for informational purposes on the initial launch, but will not necessarily be provided on a go-forward basis. Today's discussion will include adjusted financial measures, which are non-IFRS measures. These should be considered as a supplement to and not a substitute for IFRS financial measures. Finally, today's event is being recorded and will be available for replay through both the webcast and conference call dial-in information provided in the press release. With that said, let me turn the call over to Louis Laflamme, President, Chief Executive Officer for OpSens. Louis, please proceed.
Thank you, Robert, and good morning to all of you. OpSens is entering into a new era, which is making us excited to speak with you today to discuss the developments within the business. Let me also take a minute to greet the French-speaking audience. Bonjour et bienvenue à notre conférence téléphonique du quatrième trimestre de l'exercice 2022. Merci beaucoup de vous joindre à nous aujourd'hui. This is an exciting call for us today because it marks the beginning in many ways of the next phase of growth for OpSens following the recent regulatory clearances in the US and Canada for our SavvyWire, an innovative guidewire for TAVR. This is a tremendous opportunity for OpSens in the US and in Europe to improve outcomes with a new treatment that improves workflows for cardiologists. As we enter fiscal 2023, OpSens will be moving forward with a much stronger platform, having two leading synergic products, OptoWire and SavvyWire, targeting similar interventional cardiology customers. The SavvyWire is providing OpSens with a new opportunity in the large and quickly growing TAVR market. The TAVR market is growing at a CAGR of more than 40% between 2019 and 2025, with analysts expecting it to reach $8 billion by 2025. The global TAVR market is currently estimated at over 200,000 procedures annually and is expected to double in the next 5 years, with the trend of expanding to younger cardiology patients with this minimally invasive procedure. So, as I mentioned, this really is the beginning of OpSens' next phase of growth. Our long-term goal is commercial adoption by cardiologists with a movement toward SavvyWire becoming the gold standard treatment option for patients undergoing TAVR procedures. Given the technological advantages that SavvyWire possesses, as the first and only sensor gather tower solution, including its unique 3-in-1 ability for stable aortic valve delivery and positioning, continuous accurate hemodynamic measurement during the procedure, and the ability to provide reliable left ventricular pacing without the need for adjunct devices or venous access. Becoming the standard treatment option is highly reasonable in our opinion. However, it's not our opinion that matters. It is that of physicians, industry leaders in cardiology. From the time that SavvyWire was first introduced into the market, the feedback has been universally positive. As Dr. Philip Geneva, director of the Structural Heart Program at Morristown Medical Center in New Jersey, whose team performed the first use of SavvyWire in a TAVR procedure in the United States, commented, "We successfully treated 10 consecutive patients with a variety of anatomies and levels of complexity, including bicuspid valve, severe vessel tortuosity, horizontal aorta, failed prior surgical valve-in-valve, using both balloon expendable and self-expendable valves, and balloon valvuloplasty. There is no doubt the SavvyWire allowed us to optimize our efficiency and workflow while enhancing accuracy and patient safety." Doctors in Canada have had similar feedback, with Dr. Rodais Cabot at Quebec Heart and Lung Institute commenting that the SavvyWire optimized the intervention in line with the evolution of TAVR via the minimalist approach. The SavvyWire has unique properties that open the door to effective pacing without the need for adjunctive devices or venous access. And Dr. Ibrahim at the Montreal Heart Institute saying that the SavvyWire allows me to have an efficient workflow while providing continuous and accurate hemodynamic measurements in an integrated manner in our cath lab. Opsens product supports our return to the accuracy of invasive pressure measurement while making the procedure safer and more efficient. Beyond these positive comments, the SavvyWire was clearly one of the stars of the TCT conference, which was held in Boston in mid-September. We hosted a breakthrough satellite program titled Lifetime Patient Management and the Importance of TAVR Hemodynamics. The symposium features moderators, Drs. Philip Geneva and Marty Leon, the expert panel of leading global interventional cardiologists include Dr. Anita Asgar, Nicholas Van Meegen, Thomas Wagoner, and David Wood. They describe SavvyWire real-life experiences, procedural benefits, and discuss other potential use for SavvyWire outside TAVR procedure. So with that as a backdrop, let's expand on our SavvyWire commercialization process and the progress made in just the first few months. We completed the 60 initial cases as part of the limited market release in Canada ahead of our original expectations. The excitement from the physician community has been excellent, but most importantly, during the limited market release, is that the SavvyWire showed excellent device performance while improving workflows. We have now transitioned to an expanded but still highly controlled market release in Canada. We want to make sure that to fine-tune the rollout process, including training, installation of monitors in operating room, coordination with administration to ultimately achieve maximum penetration in account. As of today, we have launched Clearwater to 9 accounts in Canada, with close to 200 units shipped so far. Most of the time, for initial customer orders, we ship about 10 to 20 units in the first order. So far, more than half of the customers have already placed a reorder. This is a strong indicator that they are utilizing the product and having success, giving us confidence we are achieving better than expected market acceptance. Operationally, our direct sales team in Canada has been systematically going from hospital to hospital. Due to the capabilities of the Clearwater, the company has been obtaining pricing at or above our original expectations so far. Further, we have heard commentary that due to the OptoMonitor now being able to support both OptoWire and Clearwater, it is improving the decision-making process for adoption and installation that much easier, and it is exactly in line with the strategy we have discussed over the years. This is a bit more relevant for the future of the U.S. market, but it is a good marker for Canada as well. This supports our long-term commercialization vision to sell multiple products to the same customer group and is part of the reason we have made the investment of late into our sales and marketing efforts. Let's now transition to the U.S., where we received regulatory 510K clearance by the FDA in mid-September. Since obtaining clearance about 8 weeks ago, we have now entered and completed our limited market release phase in the U.S. As you may recall, I mentioned last quarter, as opposed to just two or three centers in Canada conducting the limited market release, we have broadened our focus in the U.S. with additional prestigious centers conducting procedure with a goal to have more than 60 cases completed in the U.S. before we move to phase one of commercial release. We are now moving to the next stage of our controlled commercialization, where we have already expanded commercialization to close to 10 centers. Everything has gone well as we are entering the wave one of the full market release. We are well in advance of the plan that we have been communicating to you for the past few quarters regarding our commercialization efforts. In summary for US, 9 accounts, close to 200 units sold, strong pricing. Overall, the commercialization status well in advance to the original schedule. With the next stage of commercialization in Canada and the US moving full steam ahead, our team is also turning its attention to Europe. In late October, we announced the successful completion of the first cases in a clinical study named SAFE TAVI, studying SaviWire in Europe. This study is part of our pre-CE mark clinical strategy that will lead to the commercialization of SaviWire in Europe. Overall, 14 cases have already occurred in Europe. Please recall that the SAFE TAVI study will enroll 120 patients in total, so we are well on our way. In summary of SaviWire, we are well ahead of our commercialization plan originally communicated to all of you, including having received Canadian and U.S. clearance ahead of expectations, launched and completed our Canadian and U.S. limited market release ahead of schedule, launch the next phase or wave one of our commercialization efforts in Canada earlier than expected with initial results indicating strong acceptance by physicians and hospitals, with limited pressure on pricing and rapid reorder rates in the first few weeks. In the US, we have completed our limited market release well ahead of expectation. We are now moving our attention toward wave one of the full market release, which should provide us the opportunity to have more than 20 US centers using the SavvyWire. Operationally, our sales and marketing group, led by our Chief Commercial Officer, Brad Davis, has put a robust plan in place and, to date, has achieved or exceeded nearly every key objective in the plan. We understand that there is a tremendous amount of work ahead of us, but I simply could not be more pleased with the progress that our team has made today. I truly believe we have a potential game changer for the tower industry in our hands and are completely focused on the successful commercial execution of this innovative medical product. Circling back to our OptoWire solution, which makes up the majority of sales, the second half of the year was quite stronger than the first half, as the subsidence of the pandemic resulted in a commensurate uptick in hospital procedure volumes, particularly those that leverage the OptoWire. Overall, revenue for the year was $35.3 million in fiscal 2022, an increase of 2%. However, sales growth in the second half of the fiscal year was 11% compared to a decrease of 5% in the first half of the fiscal year. Robin will hit on this in more detail, but it's important to note that total revenues were reduced by $600,000 due to negative foreign exchange impact. More specifically, the coronary artery disease product, which again is primarily OptoWire, sales growth in the second half of the fiscal year was up 6% compared to a decrease of 16% in the first half of the fiscal year. So fiscal year 2022 was really a tale of pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. Additionally, due to some of the supply chain disruption that had occurred in the first half of the year, there was some large fluctuations between quarters, particularly in Japan. Please remember that we made a large shipment to Japan during the third quarter, which was a bit of a catch-up order. We communicated that we would revert to more normal levels in the fourth quarter, which did in fact occur. So the sequential change you saw from Q3 to Q4 of this year is largely tied to Japan. Looking around the world, the investments we have made in the U.S. continue to show results, both in our preparation of our SavvyWire full market launch, but also with OptoWire. We saw year-over-year and sequential growth in the U.S., driven by continued adoption by our direct sales team and GPO agreements. We continue to believe the GPOs will be a key driver for us going forward in enhancing the adoption and utilization of the OptoWire in the U.S. We believe this also sets the foundation for SavvyWire as well. In Canada, we saw year-over-year growth of 9% in coronary artery disease sales. We continue to benefit from a multi-year contract we received where we were selected as the main coronary pressure guidewire for the eastern part of the province of Quebec. The trends in EMEA were similar to Canada as well year-over-year. While we work on a distribution model in this region, as opposed to a direct selling model, our team has done a tremendous job of improving the performance of distributors through enhanced educational activities. I believe the work that has been accomplished in the last couple of quarters will continue to bode well for continued improvement in EMEA. Again, in Japan, we were up compared to the year ago quarter by 18%, but down sequentially due to the large catch-up order that shipped during Q3 2022. As we look to the first quarter, we think we will see continued growth in the U.S., Canada, and EMEA sequentially from FFR, which will also mark strong year-over-year growth. As a whole, we will show strong year-over-year growth, but likely down slightly sequentially, entirely due to nuances in Japan shipments. Transitioning to our business partnerships for a moment, where several companies are integrating Opsens sensors into their product used in medical application. We believe there was a unique and positive development for Opsens during the quarter, and that was Johnson & Johnson announced acquisition of Abiomed. For those not familiar, recall that we have a multi-year relationship with Abiomed to supply sensors into Abiomed's Impella heart pump, including a four-year extension of the recent signing of a critical supply agreement that runs through April 2028. It is our belief and that of industry's analysts that the acquisition was made for growth purposes and that this may very well provide added growth for Opsens. But in the near term, the supply agreement remains strong, with us having delivered about $2.2 million in product for partnerships during the fourth quarter, with a significant percentage of those sales going to Abiomed. Let us now transition to our industrial segment, which leverages our fiber optic sensing technology and knowledge by offering key solutions in optical, temperature, pressure, strain, and other critical parameters for various industries, including aerospace, nuclear, and power electronics. For the quarter, revenue was $981,000 compared to $671,000 in the year-ago quarter. This $900,000 to $1 million in industrial revenue has been relatively consistent throughout the year. Looking forward, the long-term opportunity in this segment continues to remain attractive as we are working on an increasing number of potentially significant projects where Opsens proprietary fiber optic sensing components could be integrated into these critical projects, including the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor and the fuel monitoring for aerospace, with leading aviation manufacturers seeking solutions to reduce weight and improve operational efficiencies, and many others. Before I turn it over to Robin for a more detailed review of the financials, let me quickly summarize. As I mentioned, in many ways, this is the beginning of the next phase of growth for Opsens following regulatory clearance of SavvyWire in both Canada and the U.S. We remain ahead of schedule on nearly every key commercial aspect of SavvyWire. Early indications are that SavvyWire is being well received, adoption is strong, and that reorders are tracking strong in Canada. And as we move to the U.S., our team is mobilized to aggressively market the product as we enter the next stage of commercial development. Finally, regarding SavvyWire, we are moving forward with European registration to obtain the CE mark. OptoWire growth in the U.S. continues to be strong, along with many other parts of the world. However, shipment variability in Japan is causing near-term fluctuations that are impacting revenue growth. On our licensing and industrial projects, we think the agreement between J&J and Abiomed provides upside opportunity in the long term, and our industrial team is gearing up for some exciting new projects in the coming years, including fuel monitoring for the aviation industry, and finish fiscal 2022 on a strong note. And finally, what I think is always something important to point out, our balance sheet remains strong, allowing us to execute on our strategies to drive value creation going forward. As always, I want to thank all our employees for their hard work and dedication. we have accomplished important milestones and developments with many more opportunities ahead. Let me now turn the call over to Robin for a further review of the financial results. Robin?
Thank you, Louis, and thanks to everyone joining us on the call. As we hit on a few of these items, I would try to add additional details where I can. For the year, we reported sales of $35.3 million. This was broken down as $21.8 million in our coronary artery disease lines of business, or FFR and BPR, $9.8 million in our optical medical systems, which is mainly our agreement with Abiomed for integration of our pressure sensor in their Impella pump, the first $0.1 million for SavvyWire, and about $3.6 million in our industrial segment. For the quarter, we had sales of $9.1 million, broken down as $5.7 million in coronary artery disease, $2.3 million in our optical medical systems, the first $0.1 million for our SavvyWire, and about $1 million in our industrial segment. When you look at gross margins for the year, there were 50% compared to 54% last year. The decrease is primarily due to the end of production of the OptoWire 2, the supply chain issues affecting production costs, and negative currency effects. For the quarter, they were 48% compared to 50% in Q4 of last year. Again, the decrease was caused by the cost related to the phase-out of OptoWire 2 production and non-recurring supply chain costs affecting our production costs. These margins are consistent with what I communicated to you last quarter. As we look forward, we anticipate gross margin percentage will increase since the following factors. First, increased weight of OptoWire revenues coming from direct markets following improvement in the U.S. performance. Second, SavvyWire revenues, a product generating higher margin than OptoWire. And third, increase critical mass. From an operating expenses standpoint, as planned, overall operating expenses increased by $3.1 million during the fourth quarter of fiscal 2022 compared to the fourth quarter of fiscal 2021, and up about $600,000 sequentially. The increase is largely explained by our investments in sales and marketing teams as we are ramping up our sales efforts to continue growing market share in the U.S., along with increases in our R&D costs. As we explained, we are making additional investments in sales and marketing and research and development over the coming quarters to capitalize on the opportunities to accelerate growth of our OptoWire and to prepare the commercialization of our SavvyWire. EBITDA, which we define as net income loss plus income taxes, financial expenses, depreciation of PP&E and right-of-use assets, amortization of intangible assets, and stock-based compensation cost, was a negative $3.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2022, compared to a negative $0.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2021. The decrease is mainly due to higher operating expenses of $3.1 million, as previously explained. Net loss was $4 million in the fourth quarter of 2022, compared with a net loss of $1.2 million in the fourth quarter of last year. The increase in loss of $2.8 million is primarily the result of increased operating expenses to drive growth in our coronary products and the preparation for the full-scale launch of the Savvy Wire. For the year, net loss was $11.4 million compared with a net loss of $1.2 million in financial year 2021. The change is primarily due to the increase in operating expenses associated with the aforementioned SavvyWire regulatory clearance and planned commercial launch. Finally, on the balance sheet, we ended August 31st, 2022, with $23.8 million in cash and cash equivalents. With that, I will turn the call over to Louis.
Thank you, Robin. As previously announced, Robin will be leaving us on December 9th. Robin has played an important leadership role in finance, and we are greatly appreciative of his many contributions to Opsyn. With that said, he has built a strong finance team that gives me great confidence in their ability to support our growth efforts as we conduct a comprehensive search for a new CFO. Thank you to all our investors for their continued interest and support of Opsyn. We are working every day to capitalize on the opportunities ahead of us to position Opsyn for long-term success. Operator, let me now turn the call over to any questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw a question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause just momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question here will come from Rahul Sarugaser with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Louis. Good morning, Robin. Thank you so much for taking our questions, as always.
Good morning, Rahul.
Morning. So it sounds like you're right hot off the blocks in terms of a commercial ramp on SavvyWire. You gave us a little bit of some detail in terms of 20 centers in the U.S., recognizing that you've not yet planned to provide guidance on revenue. Maybe you can give us some waypoints in terms of how we should be thinking about the revenue ramp in 2023, particularly given that this is going to be the early stages. It's going to be more about traction and adoption than that necessarily translating to revenue. But, you know, of course, the company is valued on revenue, so, you know, we'd like to get just a little more color on how we should be thinking about revenue going into the next year.
Okay. Well, first, thanks for your question, Rahul. And as I mentioned earlier today, we could not be more pleased about where we are with SavvyWire. I mean, the feedback is great. We are getting really strong pricing. Manufacturing ramp up is happening here, so we feel we are at a really good place. And from a revenue standpoint, as you mentioned, is that, you know, our strategy is really to go deep instead of going wide too rapidly. So we want to make sure that we get good adoption within the accounts where we are. This being said, obviously, entering into the controlled wave one phase is going to generate additional revenues. If you think about Q1, and it will be even more important in Q2, Q3, and sequentially like this. In terms of giving guidance, I would say that we are not providing guidance to the street. This being said, with the success we had so far, with the demand that we are seeing, We are confident that Savvy Water will represent more than 10% of our revenues for the current fiscal year. And when we look forward, the vision, if you recall the vision of Opsens of achieving $100 million in sales, we think that at least 40% of our revenues will come from the Savvy Water.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much, Louis. Now, turning to the other side of the equation in terms of costs, we've certainly seen sales and marketing and other costs go up associated primarily, of course, with the Savvy Wire. And if we sort of adjust for, some accounting and with accounts payable, burn was around $4 million and with around $24 million cash. Could you maybe give us a sense for how we should be thinking about the interplay and balance between that burn, which we would estimate is likely to go up, as you continue to ramp your commercial efforts relative to your current cash position?
Okay. Well, first, before talking about costs in terms of sales and marketing, R&D, and administration, I would talk about the gross margin. As Robin mentioned, when we look forward, we do expect to see an increase in terms of the gross margin rate, which obviously will generate more cash for us to absorb other SG&A costs. And when we look at Q4, on top of all the elements that were mentioned by Robin, when you are in ramp-up production or starting a production of a new product, there is all kind of inefficiencies or costs. But Savvy Water production is going well, so we think that rapidly we will be able to show in our quarterly results the improved gross margin rate. So this is the first thing that we have to consider. When we talk about other costs, I would say that, let's say, R&D costs, what we had in Q3 and Q4, we should remain on that path for the following quarters. In terms of sales and marketing expenses, we put in place the team that we need. So you may see a slight increase sequentially, but this will be mostly driven by the fact that it will generate more sales, and this will consequently and generate some additional compensation to the sales team. So when we summarize about this, we feel we are in a really good financial position. The burn rate in the year should decrease gradually, quarter over quarter. And in that context, we are following the plan. We feel we are in a great position to create value for shareholders, because Savvy Water will become a reality, and because the strategic effect between Savvy Water and OptoWater will also be happening in the field.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Louis. That's all from us today, and wishing you, Robin, the best of luck as you move on to your next stage.
Thank you, Raul.
And our next question will come from Justin Keywood with Stifel. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Justin.
On the higher OPEX, and within the press release, it mentioned substantial investment in the sales force to launch Savvy. Are you able just to provide some additional context there on how many sales reps have been hired, let's say, in the last 6 months, and how those sales reps are split as far as geography, focused in Canada and in the U.S.?
Well, first, in terms of geography, I would say that most of the hiring have been done in the U.S. market. And in terms of magnitude of the hiring that we've done, we almost doubled the size of the sales team. So this was a significant investment that we felt we had to do in Q4 2022 to prepare for the launch. So So that's one reason why once we get we got clearances either from Canada and US, that we were able to make some progress. So right now we feel we have the proper sales and marketing team to execute. We may bonify with one additional person in Canada, but in general, we feel that we are at the right place to succeed. Regarding the coverage in US, I would say that that's an area where we really are data driven. So we've been looking at volume per different states to make sure that we were putting our salespeople at the right location to be really successful. And overall, you can imagine that we are covering all major U.S. cities.
Thank you. And just for context, the doubling of the sales force, was that around, it was a 10 to 15 reps prior?
Yeah, in your question, you were referring, I think, to something like in the, let's say, 6 to 12 months behind. So at some point, we were close to 10, and now we are approximately 20 people.
And do you feel that's enough to execute on the U.S. opportunity? I know there's also the strategy with the group purchasing organizations. And are these sales reps focused on going direct to the cath labs, or are they going to be working in conjunction with the GPOs?
Yeah, so the first question is, okay, do we feel that it's the right number to capitalize on the opportunity? The answer is yes. Okay, we feel we have the right team to tackle the most significant volume centers in both TAVR and coronary artery disease. So this is the first part of your question. The other part regarding GPOs, I mean, the GPOs, this is strategic for us because they lower the bar with the administration of hospitals. This being said, our sales team, what they have to do, they have to sell our products directly to the cath lab, to the doctors, and once we get the support from doctors, doctors will seek support from administration. So being under GPO agreement, and by the way, right now our GPO agreements are covering 90% of the cath lab in US. This is providing us the possibility to be faster in the execution.
Understood. And maybe just one more question on the sales force. Are they fully ramped up at this point as far as the training, and it's pretty much a direct outreach exercise, or is there still some more ramp-up time required?
The team, okay, is fully trained. Thus, we will identify additional training down the road, probably, but right now they are ready to go. This being said, we still want to go in a controlled manner because there is not only the training for us, but we also need to think about the training that we do with the cath lab, with the doctors, the nurse, and so on. And again, we have a strategy of going deep with customers, we think this is what will lead us to the biggest, the most important market share down the road, and we think that's the way we will create the most value for shareholders.
Thank you. And then maybe just a quick question for Robin. If I heard correctly, there was a $600,000 foreign exchange headwind impact in the quarter. Is that correct?
That's for the year, the $600,000 negative impact.
Do you have that for the quarter, that number?
For the quarter, it was basically neutral because the strong U.S. Offset the negative, mostly the negative role.
Okay, understood. Thank you for taking my questions.
Welcome.
Our next question will come from Doug Miehm with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Louis. Good morning, Robin. I'm just curious, when you think about benchmarking as you start the launch and you're in phase one and going to phase two, what are the items that you're going to be studying? I imagine they're going to be the number of centers, the number of doctors using at a center, reordering patterns, but could you expand on what specifically you're attempting to identify and benchmark on?
Yeah, so I mean, you are right on in terms of course, we look at the number of centers, we look at the market share within those centers, we look at the reordering rate from those centers. And as we mentioned earlier today, I mean, we are really pleased right now with the reordering rate that we get in Canada. And in the U.S., we have the impression we are anticipating that it will be even better because the value proposition, the economical environment of TAVR in the U.S. is really in the favor of using the SavvyWire. So I would say those are some key metrics. We also, when we were doing the first cases in those different countries, we were asking to physicians, okay, their estimation of the time saving that they were having with the SavvyWire, also a number of steps that they were able to eliminate. So this feedback that we got from customers really increased our confidence in the value proposition of the SavvyWire, and we think those tools will be used down the road when we will get to full commercialization mode.
Okay, perfect. And then my second question has to do with LV pacing and the differences in various parts of the world. I think it's widely adopted in Europe and certainly more so in Canada, but in the U.S., I think the market share of LV pacing is quite low. Do you see that limiting the initial opportunity for the device, hoping that clinical trials will prove out that LV pacing works very well, or do you think that you're going to see, pretty good adoption of your device irrespective of what's going on today with LV pacing?
Yeah, so good question. And you've been attending to TCT conference, the symposium that we had that was a tremendous success for us, and this was a subject of discussion. It just to make sure that everybody understands that in the value proposition of the SavvyWire, okay, there is the fact that we can deliver the valve, there is the fact that we can measure pressure, so provide hemodynamic information. There is also the fact where we can do heart stimulation, or if you prefer, left ventricle pacing. And as you mentioned, Doug, this practice is not necessarily at the same adoption stage all over the world. Because as you mentioned, I would say using the left part of the heart in Europe is kind of the standard, while in U.S. today, often they will use a different device than the device that they are using to deliver the valve, and they will stimulate the right portion of the heart. We think for us, the fact that left ventricle pacing is not necessarily common in U.S. is a good thing for us, because when you evaluate the SavvyWire, the value proposition is higher, because when you use the SavvyWire, you don't need to pay for another device for the stimulation of the right part of the heart. You don't need to do another insertion. So those are some kind of costs and steps that we can eliminate. But of course, as you can anticipate, is that the backdrop of this is that, and that's one reason why we want to be close of our customers at the beginning, There is a certain learning phase with that. But overall, we think it's an advantage to us. It will help the penetration of the SavvyWire with the backdrop that we need to be sure that we do proper training.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thanks very much, and good luck.
Thank you, Doug.
Again, if you have a question, you may press star, then one to join the question queue. And if you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. Our next question will come from Scott McAuley with Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Congrats on the quarter, and thanks again for taking the questions. I just wanted to kind of circle back on some of the numbers you gave on the kind of limited U.S. SavvyWire release, just to make sure I got them down right. So you're saying that, you know, the 60 cases, that was kind of your goal for the limited market release, and that those 60 cases are completed, and that those 60 cases have been run at, you know, 10 centers that are currently using the SavvyWire. Is that right?
No, I think here maybe I was not perfectly clear. So the 60 cases, okay, those were done in five centers. And once we complete this initial phase of the release, we were able to expand to another group of centers that, I mean, they were ready to go. We just wanted this step to be behind. So right now, we are in nine centers, and we think that rapidly we'll be able to progress where each territory manager that we have will be able to have one account using the SavvyWire. So this will bring us closer to the figure of 20. But right now, there is nine centers that are capable of using the SavvyWire in U.S. And this is not related to the 60. Again, the first 60, it was four or five centers.
Perfect. No, thanks for that additional detail. And in terms of kind of the utilization, I know, you know, the first user was saying that he had performed 10 consecutive procedures using the SavvyWire. You know, I believe he's kind of a high power user. In terms of these early cases or early centers, can you speak to kind of the utilization rate that you're seeing, and, you know, what your expectation is kind of going forward?
Yeah, so I mean, two components as an answer to this, and me personally, I've been attending to a good number of those cases. So when the centers were starting to use the SavvyWire, I was there really to obtain directly from the personnel the feedback on the product, and the feedback has been really, really positive. So doctors, they rapidly can appreciate the performance of the wire to deliver the valve. They also greatly appreciate the availability and the accuracy of the pressure information. And the pacing component that we just discussed with Doug has been there also. And as I mentioned earlier today, we were, you know, seeking information from customers about does they were able to eliminate some steps, which consequently can help them to save time. And the response on that was really positive. So in terms of utilization, I mean, this can vary by the volume that the centers are doing. But what I can say to you is that in terms of market share, either if it's an account that does, you know, 800 TAVR in a year, or an account that does 200 cases, the point is that they were really positive in using in a really significant percentage of their procedure the SavvyWire.
Got it. Yeah, that's great. And then in terms of switching over a bit to the OptiWire, I think you had mentioned, I just want to kind of confirm. You'd said you're expecting, kind of strong year-over-year growth in Q1, but that could be down sequentially just on, some of the issues you're facing. Was that correct?
Yes, it's correct. And what we can say, and this is in line with the strategy that we are doing. In Q4, the U.S. performance was really good from an up-to-order standpoint. And unfortunately, it was not the same for the Japanese, as we explained. So somehow we don't see in Q4 results the strong performance that we get in U.S. We expect this trend to continue with the up-to-order as we do the rollout with the SavvyWire, because as we mentioned previously, we have a broader team. On top of that, we established a relationship with GPOs that are covering 90% of the hospital. And on top of that, there is a huge synergy between the SavvyWire and the up-to-order. Both products are tackling completely different applications, but they are using the same monitor that is available in the room. So you can expect to see in Q1, year-over-year growth in coronary artery disease. Sequentially, it won't be the case. This being said, those are non-recurring, comparison. We really feel that we are in a position where Opsens market share with the up-to-order will increase in U.S. significantly.
That's great. And that growth, just lastly on the OptoWire, is that coming from, new accounts? Like you said, you have the new boots on the ground, knocking on doors for both SavvyWire and OptoWire. So kind of opening new accounts, getting them using both products, versus kind of expanding usage in accounts that are currently using the OptoWire?
I would say it's a combination of both. There is a certain number of new accounts that have been attracted because they saw the SavvyWire and they wanted to use both products. There is also, I would think, an increased usage in the existing accounts.
Got it. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you.
This concludes our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
Well, many thanks to everyone for participating on today's call. We look forward to hopefully speaking with all of you again shortly. In summary, Opsens is at the right place, and we are really excited about our growth plan. Thank you, and have a good day.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you very much for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines.